It's the Breakfast Show. We are live on the road this Saturday morning from the village of Coalport in Shropshire.
There's a bit of cloud around today, but it's still sunny, warm in the sunshine as well. Highs are 22 degrees, and we are here following the first ever Iron to Iron bike ride, basically.
This is Iron to Iron, a six-day journey through engineering history, taken by a group of 17 amateur cyclists.
They started on Tuesday at the Mountain Viaduct in Devon. They're heading back to Benley in Derbyshire.
This is day five, and our team are exhausted after their gruelling 80-mile bike ride from Welsh Bicknor in Herefordshire to Coalport in Shropshire. Today they must cover 50 more miles, cutting across Cannock Chase in the West Midlands, heading for Moira on the Derbyshire border, if they hope to make it back to Benley Viaduct in time. But first, a sight to lift our cyclists. Iron Bridge, one of the most important engineering structures in the UK. Who better to give them a tour than former Chair of English Heritage, Sir Neil Cossans OBE.
Let's put it this way. What is now Iron Bridge developed around the blast furnace at Coalbrookdale, which dates back to the 1580s. And it was at Coalbrookdale that iron was first smelted using coke as a fuel, as opposed to charcoal, which had previously been used. There was a desperate need for a road bridge across the Severn in that location, and the opportunity was taken, because of the Derbys, to build that bridge in iron. And it was opened on the 1st of January 1781, and it was a tourist attraction, for want of a better term, from its opening day. People came from all over Britain and from France and Germany and what is now Belgium and the Netherlands to see it.
That's another one.
But it's a UNESCO recognised site of historical significance. And it really is the granddaddy of all the bridges and should be preserved and admired. Although it's a bit more clunky than the other bridge, it really is still quite elegant. And you imagine an equivalent bridge built in stone, how much heavier it would have been. So this really was a revelation and something that's been copied all over the world. You know, we should treasure these things.
So would bridges be...
There was a big restoration project in 1973, which I was involved with, because I was then running the Iron Bridge Gorge Museum. The riverbanks were pushing inwards and crushing the arch. And so the major work that was carried out then was to excavate a trench in the bed of the river and put a reinforced concrete invert arch holding the two abutments apart. And that's been really successful. And then more recently, English Heritage have done a full-scale scrape back to bare metal. They discovered that originally its first coats of paint were that lovely red oxide colour. Nobody can ever remember it as a red bridge, because that was in the 18th and early 19th century. So in living memory, it has only ever been black. But what had never been done before was to take parts of it back to bare metal to see what the original paint was like. And that explains why the two classic oil paintings of the bridge show the bridge in red, and nobody really knew why the artist had done that, and now we do. I think it absolutely looks perfect, and those people who said it should be black, I think they've largely changed their mind now they've seen it in its finished coat.
And actually, for the town, it is still an essential bridge.
In a sense it is. It's only a footbridge now, of course. Immediately after its opening, the stagecoaches from London to Shrewsbury would go via the Iron Bridge, so it became part of the...
Stop it. started out this morning. What did you make of Iron Bridge? It's a beautiful bridge and a piece of history, isn't it?
I thought Iron Bridge was absolutely stunning, and I've always been a cyclist and I've cycled over bridges, but I've never got interested in the stories behind them. And once you get interested in the stories behind them, all of a sudden, you know, the countryside comes to life and all these bridges come to life.
Yeah, it's so nice to see, isn't it? And obviously, tomorrow, another big day ahead. Not necessarily of cycling, it's about a half-day cycle, but you've got...
Our cyclists get back in the saddle, leaving Iron Bridge behind. Moira, on the Derbyshire border, is their destination for the last night of their challenge. But with 50 miles to cover today, what highlights have they got planned? Here's cyclist Adrian, Philippa and Nick.
The route that we planned between Lion Bridge coming east was a sort of a bit of a link. I remember when I was planning that, it was thinking about, well, how do we make this one interesting? Because today's route is more about getting here to here so we can link back up to Benalee the following day. We did some nice canal paths, and then we deliberately planned to go across Cannock Chase to give us a bit more variety.
It was much more gentle, more like the wolds. You know, you've got these folds of land, so you're going up and down, but in a more stately way. It's much easier cycling. It was a peaceful, quiet, very untrafficked part of it. It's not as spectacular, but it has its own beauty.
Oh, it's stunning. It's lovely. It's been rolling today, so there's just that little sharp uphill out of Iron Bridge itself, and then it's just been gently rolling and going through Cannock and all the lovely trees. It's been glorious. Fab. Just a bit of a fast pace, because I've been at the front with the fast boys. But, yeah, no, it's been lovely. And going over the Trent, and it just starts to feel like we're nearly home now as well, you know.
It does. I've started recognising places.
Along Cannock Chase, our cyclists meet up with Gary Kelsey from Forestry England to learn how the landscape has been developed to encourage cycling while protecting the natural habitat.
Yeah, so Cannock Chase, it's in the Midlands, just above Birmingham. It's located in between Cannock, Rugeley and Stafford. It's the smallest mainland area of outstanding natural beauty at 26 square miles. It's a combination of heathland, so in the kind of summer, just about now, all the heather is starting to come out, so it's a beautiful purple habitat. It's absolutely stunning to see. I mean, it could feel like you're absolutely anywhere. It could feel like you're in the Scottish Highlands. But also we've got some really sensitive ancient woodlands, such as Brockton Coppice. And then my job is to manage visitors on a day-to-day basis. We need to ensure they have really a safe, enjoyable visit, doing lots of different things such as walking, cycling. We also have Go Ape and many other things on site, but also while at the same time doing it in such a way that they don't damage any of the sensitive wildlife on Cannock Chase. And we've got protected landscapes, so it's an area of outstanding natural beauty. It's also a special area of conservation, which is also for this delicate heathland habitat. So anything we do, we need to make sure that we direct visitors into the right places to enjoy their day out. Off-road mountain biking has obviously been getting more popular as the years gone by. It wasn't until like the 80s that even mountain biking was a thing. It was all road biking, and it slowly gathered pace. And it was kind of around 2002, 2003. We then had a bike shop on site. We were approached by some sort of local volunteers and local people that wanted to develop new trails. And then we started working with them. And then we developed what was Follow the Dog, which was our first, you know, cross-country mountain bike trail. If you're a cyclist and you're coming to Cannock Chase, come to our site. This is the place to start. We've got trails for everyone, right from small children on the pedal and play, people starting to build their skills on Perry's Trail, which is a moderate blue trail. And we've got Follow the Dog and the Monkey Trail, which are red difficult trails with some black features on there too. So.
I'm here at a small bridge in Walton-on-Trent, and that doesn't sound too significant, except it is to these riders, because finally, after 5 days on the road, as soon as they cross this bridge, they will be in Derbyshire for the first time since Monday. So they're on the way over the bridge, from Staffordshire back into Derbyshire, home of the Renly Viaduct, and they've all got smiles on their faces.
Do you know what? After yesterday, and this day was tougher, but it feels fab to be sat here at Moira YHA in the sunshine, and we've not had a drop of rain. So even if it piddles down tomorrow, it doesn't matter.
On the home straight now, so tomorrow is just over the River Trent again at Burton.
Yeah, not bad.
Friargate Bridge, and then back to Benelie.
Yeah, I'm a bit excited because I know that one of my leaders from the Breeze Network is going to actually come here in the morning and ride with us. And then a couple of them are hopefully going to meet us at Friargate. And being a bit girly, I get emotional. So, yeah, it's a bit of excitement and also a little bit of apprehension that it's all coming to an end. But maybe it's just the start of another new beginning of something. So, you know, so it'll still be great. It'll be lovely. And I think a couple of friends might be there at the end as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope my bottom's a little less sore in the morning.
And it's lovely, isn't it? As we get towards the end of the week, when we sort of arrived on Monday night, nobody knew each other. But now we all seem like we're really good friends. It's nice.
After the highlight of Ironbridge, you know, the end was getting near. And so I was actually quite looking forward to finishing. You know, not that I had enough, but I was actually quite looking forward to finishing because there was going to be a bit of a party. But yes, I was beginning to look forward to the end.
I think there was a certain amount of relief, I think, once you get to Moira, because you know you've got, like, the last day. The end is in sight. It was quite sad as it went so quick, you know, and we'd enjoyed it so much that it was a bit sad that it was coming to an end. But there's also that relief that actually you've made it, that nothing completely disastrous has happened with a bike on the way up, apart from your pedal falling off at one point, I remember.
I just remember being quite tired, but knowing that there was only one more day to do, so I could do it.
It's nice that the group's gelled together, isn't it?
Yeah, the group has been really, really good. And you never know. I mean, I've never done a cycling thing like this before, but I've done trekking. So you never know who's going to be in the group, if there's going to be someone you really don't like or something like that. But we've all got on really well. And we're such a diverse group as well. And being only one of two ladies amongst all the chaps has never been an issue either. And great conversations and really interesting people as well, you know. So it's been fabulous. And I think some of us will meet up and keep in touch. I know that a couple of us have already become friends on Facebook and that sort of thing. And I think the WhatsApp group might keep going too. So, yeah. Ooh, oh, here come the B group.
The B group are just arriving. Here they are.
This might sound a bit daft and a bit trite, but I was gone yesterday afternoon. You know, I wasn't thinking straight. I was incredibly tired. We stopped in this little cafe and Philippa bought a pint of strawberries and she gave me a load of strawberries. And they were the tastiest strawberries I've ever tasted. And it was just that feeling that somebody else in the group can see you struggling and they're looking out for you. And that's more than the bridges, more than anything. That's what I take from this trip, you know, the way that the people have all supported and helped each other.
Yeah, it's been really good. Thank what a lovely day it's been today. The weather was glorious and the trip back to Moira is complete.
And can you believe already tomorrow the group are off for their final leg, cycling back to the Benelie Viaduct after this...
That was the penultimate day of this epic 320-mile cycle ride through our engineering heritage. Bottoms are sore, friendships have been made, and our cyclists are gearing themselves up for the final 30 miles of this ride. Join us in episode 6 when we finally reach our destination, the Benelie Viaduct in Ilkeston, Derbyshire. What does the future hold for this amazing iron structure? Listen in to find out. You've been listening to Iron to Iron, an Inkslingers Media production in partnership with Erewash Sound and the Friends of Benelie Viaduct. Supported by the Audio Content Fund, presented by Rachel Bramhall, with Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Produced by Leona Fensom, Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Executive producer, Lucius Cazocchio. Music performed by Chris Nixon. Script by Jackie Brewster. Audio production and sound design by Oliver Sanders. For more information on future Iron to Iron journeys, please visit benleyviaduct.org.uk.